You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Darren Owen, Dale Gibson and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got day one of the two-day meeting at Sandown. Plenty of good racing on the flat to look forward to there. We've also got Doncaster and Perth in the afternoon, and three meetings we'll be covering in the evening. We've got Chepstow and Plumpton domestically and Dundalk over the Irish Sea. Plenty to get into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm all the better for seeing this sunshine. It doesn't half make the old morale that little bit higher. And it's been a long time coming this spring, but hopefully it can remain, because, wow, Sandown tomorrow is fantastic. And obviously the end of the jump season, wonderful spectacle. Dickie Johnson being crowned champion at long last. A very, very worthy winner of it, obviously. And then the Nichols and the Mullins head-to-head for the Trainers' Championship. So, you know, you couldn't have written it, could you, that they'd be going to the wire, Mullins and Nichols, for the, you know, English Trainers' Championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all good stuff to look forward to. And, again, we had a very emotional day last year at Sandown with AP hanging up the boots. And I think it'll still be very emotional this year for the reason we've mentioned. Dickie Johnson at long last getting his hands on that new Jockeys Championship trophy, and the two big boys, Nichols and Mullins, fighting out for that Trainers Championship. Yeah, so great couple of days in prospect at Sandown.
Yeah, really looking forward to that over the next couple of days. As you mentioned, great jump stuff and a big season finale on the Saturday, and we've got some real good flat racing to look forward to on the Friday as well. Pimmy's going to look at four races for us there in just a little while, but before we get to that, Pimmy, a little bit of news. We've got Classic Clues on offer at Sandown on Friday. While we're on the subject of classics, we saw Sodomar storm into the Oaks Reckoning at Epsom, winning the Derby trial, although John Gosden in Connection saying she's going to stay against the fillies and go for the Oaks. She's 8-1 now, third favourite in the market, and really stormed onto the scene on Thursday.
Oh, fantastic performance by the homebred by Lady Lloyd Webber, and again, fantastic performance by her, rated 81. Wow, what a little blot in the handicap she would have been, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
God, blimey. But again, master of his trade, John Gosden, had her ready to rock and roll on her debut. And she certainly is a player, you know. She was well backed after that victory yesterday afternoon. And I think she's maybe a shorter second favourite with us here at William Hill. But no, good performance. And she's in exactly the right hands where she wants to be. No finer trainer of a filly than John Gosden.
Yeah, won the race, won the Oaks with Ted Gruder a couple of years ago, John Gosden, and yeah, she's third favourite in the market, Sodomar, 8-1 behind Minding, who's 7-2, and Bally Doyle, who is 7-1. So that's the way the Oaks market looks at the moment. While we're on the subject of Epsom as well, Pimmy, the Queen is going to present the Derby trophy for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And well, I know she won't be listening to this podcast because she's got a bit much on, but very happy birthday, Your Majesty. And I've looked through the birthdays list, and obviously she's in it.
Yeah.
But she's no runners today.
Right.
Because she would have been part of the pins, you know, equation there, wouldn't she?
That's the system, isn't it?
Oh, that's the system. It's a foolproof system, is that, Mark? If it's their birthday, you watch out for them having runners.
Yeah.
But not to be. But no, that's fantastic as well, isn't it? And, oh, blimey. I mean, 90 years of age, she's stunning. Absolutely stunning. Well, and I think, now I might be wrong here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but our former colleague and racecourse commentator, Malcolm Tomlinson, isn't his daughter the face of the Epsom Derby this year?
Oh, I don't know, is she?
I think she is, yeah. Yeah, Eleanor Tomlinson, isn't it?
Yeah, she's an actress, isn't
of
she?
Of the Poldark fame.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she might be the face of the Investec Derby this year.
Right.
Now, you need to look that up, because if it's not right, you're going to have to cut this.
I might just leave it in anyway.
Exactly.
We'll pretend it's her.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure she is. Eleanor thing. So we can actually say that we know her indirectly through her dad.
Through association.
Who we saw in the commentary box at Beverley one day, and we gave him a wave, and that's got our connection with him, you know? But yeah, all good stuff, yeah. Eleanor Tomlinson, you heard it first on William Hill Racing Radio.
You did, there you go. Keeping with the royal theme as well, Royal Ascot, we've got a record overseas entry, 164 entries from overseas this year.
That's a fantastic number, isn't it? I mean, fair play to whoever's, you know, gone around and chivvied these guys up from abroad to come and have a go, but I mean, that is brilliant, and it really then gives it, you know, like a world status, doesn't it? I mean, we know it as Royal Ascot has been a fantastic venue for British racing, but to make it global is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we've got the prize money in offer. We've got, you know, the stance of if you can win a Group 1 at the Royal Meeting, you know, that stands you throughout your career for breeding purposes and everything else like that. So I think they've done really well. And again, you know, hats off to Royal Ascot for, as I say, getting these international contenders over and, you know, being competitive at our showpiece meeting of the year, to be fair.
Yeah, it is developing a more international flavour in recent years, haven't we? We've seen real high-profile runners from Australia and America come over and try their hand at Royal Ascot. So it's positive for the meeting going forward, isn't it? And obviously the prize money is superb nowadays as well.
Yeah, it's gone up $1 million from last year. So, you know, they're really sticking some prize money in there to tempt these guys over. And again, we look like we're getting some from Japan. Obviously, Wesley Wall will be ready to rock and roll with his two-year-olds. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, for me, the first day of the Royal Meeting, that Tuesday, and there's four Group 1s, that's just what British flat racing is all about.
Yeah, it is superb. I mean, I'm more of a jumpsman at heart, really, but the first day of Royal Ascot, you know, if you can't get excited about that, then...
Well, I'm going to say, you know, if you're a racing fan, then that doesn't half, you know, get the old goosebumps going, that's for sure.
Anything else on your mind, Pibby, before we get stuck into...
I don't think so. All is well. I think it's been a wonderful National Hunt season, which is coming to a close. I think it's wonderful that Mullins has got so close, even if he doesn't win it, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, to do what he's done has been outstanding. He's had some wonderful horses. And to be fair to him, you know, he's not put them in cotton wool. He's put them out to war.
Yeah.
And again, I think that shows the sporting spirit of his owners and himself, that they're saying, well, come on, we'll give it a go. We might not ever get this close again. And, you know, he's got runners at Perth today and tomorrow again. So I think it's great stuff. And, again, for me, it epitomises what National Hunt Racing is all about.
Yeah, it's an exciting twist of the end of the season that we probably wouldn't have expected 3 or 4 months ago, would we? So.
Well, no, definitely not. And, again, to see William Mullins at Perth yesterday afternoon must have been fantastic for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, let's move on anyway. Let's get stuck into Friday's action.
Yeah, because again, they'll be asleep out there in listening land if you keep yattering on about nothing. Yeah. Told you.
All right, let's move on. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts in four races at Sandown on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at four races on Friday's card, the first four races, in fact, and we start in the 120 at Sandown. This is the Esher Cup Handicap, a Class 2 event over a mile. It's for the three-year-olds, and we've got a field of nine for this year's renewal. Pimmy, who'd you like in there?
Well, fantastic race. The Esher Cup is steeped in history. It's for the three-year-olds only. Mutakaraz won it last year for Brian Meehan. He won the race off a mark of 85. He then went to 95, and he ended up the season off 101. So that's the type of race that it comes up. He can throw up a very, very much improved horse, and this year's renewal of the Esher Cup is no exception. Some lovely, lovely looking individuals here. Obviously, Ken Pitterson will be trackside live for us tomorrow, and he'll give us the inside on the way these three-year-olds look, because a lot of them are making the seasonal debuts. Justice Law got some very good form in the book last year for David Ellsworth. Epihalt was an improver on his last couple of outings. I thought Bonvolucha was interesting from the John Gosden yard. Chief Whip only had the one race last year, and he was an impressive winner at Sandown over 7 furlongs on that occasion. And Zabo for Mick Shannon, the filly, she came good when she won at Newbury in a sixth furlong maiden fillies race last year as well. So there's lots of potential improvers in the race, that is for sure. Oh, the one I did forget to mention was Bobby Wheeler, who again showed some reasonable form when he finished third behind Palawan at Goodwood last season over seven furlongs. So again, one or two of them just stepping up a furlong in trip, and I think it's an interesting one that Chief Whip only had the one run. He comes here tomorrow on the back of that one run, and I think he's the one they've all got to beat. But it is, as I say, a race where any one of the nine could have made significant progress over the winter break.
Chief Whip then in the opener at Sandown. We move on to the 150 there next. This one is the Gordon Richards Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the older horses, it's for the 4-year-olds and older, and I suppose an interesting runner here will be Western Hymn, Pimmy.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Frankie Dettori rode Western Hymn to victory in this race last year, and to be fair, he looks like the one they've all got to beat. He's obviously can perform to a good standard on his racecourse debut for the season, as he showed last year. The yard's in fantastic form, that of John Gosden. And to be fair, this looks a slightly weaker renewal of the Gordon Richards Stakes than it was last season, to be honest. So I'll be bitterly disappointed. Western Hymn will be sent off favourite, but I'll be disappointed if he can't go and land the spoils tomorrow. Obviously, the Northern Challenger, top-notch Tonto, very tough, consistent horse for the Brian Ellison yard. He'll like the ground as well there at Sandown tomorrow afternoon. He could well be a player. And the other one that I thought would be interesting was our Channel from the William Haggis yard. Haggis got his horse in good form at the moment, and this horse ran really well when winning last time out.
But you're going for Western Hymn?
Western Hymn is a confident selection.
Western Hymn then, a confident selection for Pimmy in the Gordon Richards Stakes. The 220 is next. This one is the Classic Trial, a Group 3 contest over a mile and a quarter. It's obviously for the 3-year-olds. We've got seven of them in the lineup here, Pimmy, and I suppose we must start with Midterm, who made an impressive winning debut at Newbury, the first fall out of Midday, who was pretty useful herself, and he'll be looking to stamp his claims for Derby success later on in the season.
Yeah, most certainly, and again, I hate to say it, and I know he won't be listening to it, but again, this is important. If you can listen into Ken Pedersen paddock side tomorrow for this race, because he will be able to give you the real load on and how fit these horses are for their racecourse debuts. Midterm, yeah, he came good on his only start last year. And again, to be fair, you know, he's in the market. He's a nice sort of horse. He's got a good pedigree, as you quite rightly said, after that good race mare at Midday. He's in the right hands in the shape of Sir Michael Stout. He's got the man of the moment on board, Ryan Moore, and lots of ticks in boxes for Midterm. But I think there's one or two others that you can try and make a case for. Ventura Storm, he won nicely at Newmarket last time out when beating Muster Gear. So again, he comes into the equation. High Grounds only had one run at Lingfield, but again, I thought that was quite an impressive performance there. Obviously got up his game, but certainly you can imagine that will be within his capabilities. And the other horse that I thought was interesting was the Simcott runner, Algometer, who again has a little bit to find on what we've seen, but I thought his Newbury success over a mile last year was fairly impressive for him, and again, there could be more to come from him. So we've got a few ifs and buts regarding how they've wintered, how fit they're going to be on the debut, but I think, to be fair, with his entry in the Derby, with his position in the Derby betting as well, Midterm is the one that they've all got to beat.
Midterm the one to beat then in the Classic Trial, and we finish off in the 255 at Sandown. This is a Group 2 over a mile. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We've got seven of them in the lineup here, Pimmy, and we'll start with Bellardo, who went close, pushed solo all the way in the QE2 last season and made a winning return at Doncaster a few weeks ago. So logical starting point.
Yeah, logical starting point, no two ways about it. And again, to be fair, he did really well with that success last time out. He supports the hood. Roger Varian's horses have been in good form as well, and I think he possibly is the one they've got to beat. But I thought there was one or two others in the lurking. Tourmore, he won a Group 2 in Turkey last year. I don't know if you remember that trip to Turkey, Mark, but one or two of the jockeys celebrated a bit too well in Turkey that night, failed to get the plane back in the morning, and one or two of them missed the rides in the UK the following day. So the Turkey hospitality must have been fairly good. So Turmoor did win that, and he gets a penalty for that success in Turkey as well, to be fair, in this race. But yeah, he could well be a player. And the other one that I thought was interesting was Ade, the William Haggis runner. Again, bits and bats of form that hold him in high regard, especially when he was in that Group 1 stakes at Ascot when he was 6 of 20. He might find the step-up in trip to be interesting. And again, he possibly would be my idea of taking on Bellaro and looking for a bit of value.
All right, looking for a bit of value there. Then, as usual, Pimmy, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, we will indeed. Starting with that opening race at Sandown Park, the 3:20 in the Esher Cup, I'm going to go with number 7, Chief Whip, in the Gordon Richard Stakes Group 3 status, going with the likely favourite Western Hymn to make it back-to-back wins in this race. And then in the Classic Trial, Group 3 again, looking towards mid-term to strengthen his position in the Derby market for Sir Michael Stout and Ryan Moore. And in the Mile, the Group 2 at 2.55, I'm going to take a chance with Ade.
Thanks, Pimmy. Good work. Good
My
luck.
Pleasure.
And enjoy it on Friday.
And work on this theory. Little knowledge is dangerous.
Yeah, you're a dangerous man, Pimmy. Thanks very much. You can hear all of Friday's action on Racing Radio from 1:10 PM. Darren Owen, Dale Gibson and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. We've got a superb day to look forward to at Sandown. We've also got Doncaster and Perth alongside that in the afternoon. And action in the evening as well from Chepstow and Plumpton domestically. And we'll be taking in the action from Dundalk over in Ireland as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.